Philippians chapter 2. Go to verse number 8. Verse number 5, excuse me. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Our Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts today. I pray that as we contemplate on your birth, that we would see what it is all about and how you provided a Savior for us. Bless us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. The world's most significant events seldom make the news. For example, about 2 centuries ago, men were following with bated breath the march of Napoleon and waiting with feverish impatience for the latest news of the wars. All the while, in their own homes, babies were being born. But who could think about babies? Everybody was thinking about battles. In one year, 1809, lying midway between Trafalgar and Waterloo, there stole into the world a host of heroes. During that one year, Gladstone was born in Liverpool. Alfred Tennyson was born in Somersby Rectory. Oliver Wendell Holmes made his first appearance in Massachusetts. On the very day of that selfsame year, Charles Darwin made his debut at Shrewsbury, and Abraham Lincoln drew his first breath in old Kentucky. Napoleon and his armies marched across history. But it was the ideas of Darwin and Lincoln that actually shaped our world. The eloquence of Holmes and Tennyson moved us. The clamorings of war that seemed so important then are silent now, while the infant cries that went unnoticed have heralded our modern times. How the roles have reversed. If we go back 2,000 years, the same thing is true. The shadow of Caesar Augustus' empire loomed large across the Mediterranean world. And when he ordered a census to raise taxes, the news made front page headlines. Who would have thought that the great Caesar Augustus was merely God's errand boy for the fulfilling of Old Testament prophecy? Who would have noticed the young couple traveling from Nazareth to Bethlehem? Who would have noticed the first cries of newborn Jesus? And who would have cared? The most significant news event of all time had occurred in Bethlehem. God became a baby. Number one, the setting of the event. The setting of the event. The scriptures are full of prophecies, of types, of pictures, of scriptures pointing to Jesus Christ. Let's just go through a few of them as we set the general stage for the setting of this event. Go in your Bible to Galatians chapter 4, verse number 4. Galatians chapter number 4, verse number 4. Paul writes, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." The fullness of time. When all was ready. Alexander the Great's career had created a common language throughout the entire world at this time. Greek was the common language. Everyone learned their language, and they learned the Greek language as well. The elaborate Roman road system would make it possible for the rapid movement of the gospel as the disciples began to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of the world. And the census Caesar ordered prompted a trip to Bethlehem, fulfilling Micah chapter 5, verse number 2, where we are told the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. God brought it all together, and when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman. Go to Matthew chapter number 1. Matthew chapter number 1. Verse number 16. Matthew chapter number 1, verse number 16. I mentioned this last week. You read through first chapter of Matthew and you will read begat, 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 begat. And there are so many begats, we call this section the begats, because they're all begetting somebody along the way. We come to verse number 16 and we read, "And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ." Now, to the Jewish reader of that, a begat is missing. Automatically, they would understand, they would get, there's no begat here. What's going on? It doesn't say that Joseph begat Jesus. It says he was married to Mary, of whom was born Jesus. What happened? It would jump off the page to them. Well, in verse number 18, he lets us know. "Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise." He's saying, you missed the begat. Here is why. "When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." God could have thundered the news. "It's okay, Joseph. You can marry her." But no, quietly, privately, behind the scenes, he says, "All this is of God. All this is to fulfill Old Testament prophecy. It is coming to pass, Joseph, and you're going to get to be a part of it." Go to Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2. Verse number 1. "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." A son of Caesar would have been wrapped in silk, and there would have been parades and banners and blowing horns. Who was this among the bleeding sheep and braying donkeys, wrapped in strips of cloth, lying in a stable, in a manger, a feeding trough, on a pile of hay? Luke chapter 2, verse number 11, there is an announcement. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The announcement comes to some shepherds. How appropriate? The shepherds would be the first ones to see the Lamb of God. God brought His Son into the world for a purpose. So, number two, the explanation of the event. Let's go back to Philippians chapter number 2 where we began. Philippians chapter number 2, the explanation of the event. Understand, while Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, He did not come into existence in Bethlehem. Philippians chapter 2 lets us know that before He became a baby, Jesus Christ possessed all of the attributes of God Himself. Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, verse 6, being in the form of God. Let's stop right there. Jesus Christ was in the form of God. The Greek words there, being in the form of God, mean that He was God's very essence. Being God's very essence. He was not a copy of God. He was not almost like God. He was not something similar to God or the closest thing to God. No, He was God. He was an exact replica of God, God's very image. John 1:1 puts it this way, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ is God. In the beginning, He was God, always was God, and always will be God. He says, he goes on in verse number 6, He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was the very essence of God, equal with God. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Literally, he didn't think his equality with God was something to be held on to at all costs. We must understand the word robbery there because it's an old English word. The word robbery doesn't mean to steal something. It means to hang on to something at all costs. So what the Bible's saying there is Jesus Christ was the essence of God Himself, but didn't think He had to hang on to that at all costs. But instead, we are told in verse number 7, made Himself of no reputation. Literally, He emptied Himself. He did not cease to be God. He simply laid aside the outward essence of the Godhead. He didn't lay aside His attributes. He still possessed them all. You read through His life, He healed people. He knew what people were thinking. He raised the dead. He didn't lay aside His attributes. Instead, He laid aside the outward manifestation of the glory of God. And He submitted Himself to the plan of God to purchase our salvation. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant. That's His birth. When He became a baby, took upon Him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself. Please, let the whole thing sink into your mind. God. The Creator of the universe, the Creator of mankind, the Creator of you, God, became a baby. Jesus Christ laid aside that outward glory, that outward manifestation, wrapped himself instead in the robes of human flesh. And God humbled himself. God became a baby. He no longer looked like God. He now looked like man. He looked human. He felt human. God would have to have his diaper changed. God would have to learn to walk and talk. God entered the human race, and he would laugh and speak and hurt and bleed. He was God and man. G. Campbell Morgan put it this way, not God indwelling a man. Of such there have been many. Not a man deified. Of such there have been none, save in the myths of pagan systems of thought. But God and man, combining in one personality the two natures, a perpetual enigma and mystery, baffling the possibility of explanation. God became man in Jesus Christ, and he is both God and man at the same time. All God, all man, at once. And yet, we can't grasp it, but the Bible teaches it clearly. So the question should shout out in our minds, why? Why would God humble himself? Why would God, whose glory lit the universe, why would God take that off, put on human flesh, be born in a stable, and then live a human life? Why? Philippians 2 explains it, verse number 8, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Why? To die. As God, he could not die. He is eternal, he is everlasting, he is omnipotent, he could not die. But as man, he could, and he would die in our place. Jesus Christ, God's Son, treated as a criminal. Judged, found guilty, sentenced, and executed. All in one night and day. What horror. Yet, it wasn't an accident. That was God's plan. All planned by God that he might be our Savior. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse number 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Pastor, what's that verse talking about? That verse is telling us that God made Jesus Christ to be sin in our behalf, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He was born in a manger. He lived a perfect life. He had no sin. He knew no sin. He did no sin. Jesus Christ never sinned in thought, never sinned in word, never sinned in deed. And yet he would die for the sins of the entire world. He died for your sin. He paid your sin penalty in full, that you might be made the righteousness of God. Now, did he literally, God turn him into sin and he became this ugly sin? No. Understand the words there. Jesus Christ had our sin laid upon him, and God treated him as the sinner. A sinner abides under the wrath of God. A sinner is condemned and will be judged by a holy God. And God, as Jesus Christ, hung there on the cross, treated him as the sinner. And God's full wrath against sin was poured out on Jesus Christ. And he willingly took it. He received it. What we could not pay, he did. He was treated as the sinner. The Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah that it pleased the Lord to bruise him. You see, it wasn't the Jews who killed Jesus. It wasn't the Romans who killed Jesus. It was God who killed Jesus. He punished him in your, my place. Amen. That we might be treated as the righteous one. God has taken our sin, put it on Christ. He paid our sin penalty. We now can receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ in our account, that we might be treated as God's Son. Amen. And there is nothing that we can do to add to it. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We cannot work our way to heaven. We cannot earn our way to heaven. We cannot join a church. We cannot perform a rite. We cannot give money. We cannot do anything that might accomplish our salvation. If we could, then the cross was a bad idea. But it wasn't. It was the only way to save our soul. Amen. And Jesus Christ laid his life down that we might be saved. Amen. Go back to Philippians chapter number 2. Kind of catch the journey of Jesus Christ, if you will. From the throne room in heaven to the manger in Bethlehem, to the cross outside Jerusalem, leaving the empty tomb, back to the throne room of heaven. Verse number 8 says again, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, therefore, because of that, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Because he willingly humbled himself, God has now exalted him to a place where every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. One day, whether it's here on this side or one day in heaven, everyone, Satan himself, will bow the knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Amen. The good news is, you don't have to wait till then, because you will do it. But you need to do it now. Amen. Because if you wait till then, it'll be a confession and then a consignment into hell. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Come, trust Jesus Christ as Savior. There are, for lack of a better way to put it, video fireplaces. You know what I'm talking about? You don't have a fireplace in your home, you can get a DVD, pop it into the player, and pop, there's a fireplace on your television. And you can sit over there and No, you can't. You can watch it. You can see it. there's no warmth. Oh, you might feel it in your mind. Nah, you won't even do that. There's no warmth. Christmas without Christ is just like that. You see what's going on. You hear the stories. You see the trappings. You might even see the manger scene with baby Jesus there in the manger. But without Jesus Christ, you don't get it. You don't feel the warmth of Jesus Christ. It is not there. But when you come to know Him as your personal Savior, you get it. You understand. The warmth comes in because Jesus Christ has taken away your sin and fitted you for heaven. Amen. And if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Trust Christ today. He is not a baby in a manger any longer. He is not a crucified Savior on a cross any longer. He is the risen Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Amen. And one day soon, we will all stand before Him. We will all give an account. And the first face, a believer, the first face, a Christian, the first face, someone who is truly saved, wants to see, is the face of their Savior, the one who willingly laid His life down for them. Amen. And the last face, a sinner wants to see, is the face of a thrice holy God before whom they will stand and be judged. Because every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. What about you? Our Heavenly Father, thank You for this time together. Thank You so much for this season that we celebrate our Savior coming into the world. Lord, this was Your entrance that You might die in our place. This was Your enrobing Yourself in flesh that You might die and pay our sin penalty in full. Lord, help us to understand it. And for the saved among us, draw us even closer to You as we get even more what You've done and how much You truly love us. If there's anyone in our midst who is unsaved, show them very clearly they need to trust Christ today. Tomorrow's not promised. Today is the day You're calling them to salvation. So Lord, work, convict, encourage, and draw each one of us to You. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. You say, Pastor, I have trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I know beyond any shadow of a doubt my sins are forgiven and I'm on my way to heaven. I know that because I know that Jesus Christ is mine and I am His. Put your hand up as a testimony of that fact. You're saved, you know it. Just put your hand up. Amen. God bless you. That is great. Amen. You can put your hands down. Amen. 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 That's great. Christian, with all of the trappings of Christmas and all of the hustle and bustle and all of the things that we've got to do and attend and take care of, do we forget Christ? He is the reason for the season, and His reason was dying for you. He asked us to live for Him. Can we do that? You say, Pastor, pray for me. God's spoken to me today. I need to make sure that I'm living for my Savior, the one who loved me and gave Himself for me. Pastor, pray for me. Anyone like that, put your hand up, put it back down. Pastor, God has spoken. Pray for me. Amen. God bless you. Amen. 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 Anyone else? Pastor, just pray for me. Slip your hand up, put it back down. Maybe you're here today. Amen. God bless you. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know that I'm going to heaven. I don't know that my sins are forgiven. I don't know Christ. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that? Put your hand up. Put it back down. This is the greatest decision you could make, trusting Christ as Savior. Jesus Christ died so you could trust Him.
You could repent of your sin, put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and be eternally saved. You say, Pastor, I don't know. I'm not sure. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that? Put your hand up. Put it back down. Pastor, pray for me. Our Father, thank you for your goodness and grace. Thank you, Lord, for entering our race that you might die for us. Thank you that you are a living, risen Savior who is coming back one day. Lord, I pray that you continue to work in all of our hearts and help us to remember you are the reason for all that's going on right now and to keep you front and center in everything. Lord, for anyone in our midst who's unsaved, show them their greatest need and how you've already met that need in Jesus Christ. Bless in this invitation. We'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. Let's all stand. Grab a hymn book right in front of you. Turn to page 390. 390. As we sing this verse of invitation, it is just that, a time when we invite you to talk to God. We invite you to make a decision for Jesus Christ. He's spoken to your heart. He's laid a decision on your heart. What does he want you to do? Talk to him right now and make that decision. If you need to be saved, if you need to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, come to the front. Come talk to me. I'll have someone take a Bible and show you how you can know that you're saved. Right now, as we sing, what does God want you to do? You do it, verse number 1.